Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at the Week 13 loss to the Bengals and a look ahead to Sunday's AFC North showdown with Pittsburgh.
We're coming off our last game. We've had a few days, obviously, and done quite a bit of work. The players have been away. We worked on Friday, had a full day on Friday with the players. And then throughout the weekend, different things that we're working on as coaches. But all focused now on the Steelers coming up. I think we step back and look at it. After the first third of the season, our goal was to fight our way, play our way back into contention and position to compete for the AFC North Championship. And we've done that. So here we are in the last third of the season with that objective and that challenge in front of us to go win the AFC North, which starts on Sunday. So that's where we're at, and that's what our focus will be. What questions do you have?
John, as far as Nate Wiggins, have you heard anything as far as, the severity of it, and could it be a week-to-week thing, or could it be a possible IR situation?
Nate? Yeah. Nate's day-to-day right now. So we'll see where he's at on Wednesday, and we'll see where he's at going forward from there.
John, you got Emory Jones a little look. What was your impression of him in his first outing?
Thought he played hard and showed some athleticism, and some fight and some gusto. Played like a rookie in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things to clean up for sure. I think he'll be the first to tell you that. But you can't really start making those improvements until you play. You have to play in games to start growing in that direction. And he got a chance to do that, which was really positive. And we'll just have to see going forward how much we want to continue that as we go.
Is it possible that he could play in the other guard spot as well?
It's possible, but it's hard to do. And we've had that conversation. It's a good question. It's the same question that I asked and that we asked. How viable is that? But you take a rookie and put him on both sides. You compound the curve quite a bit.
On the other side of that, how did you see Voorhees respond to being in a rotation? And just what would you like to see from him to continue playing or to solidify that job a little bit more from his perspective?
Well, yeah. There's a step between being a starter and being an established starter kind of in the league, kind of what you're talking about. And when you're a younger player like Andrew or a lot of guys, you want to establish yourself as a starter, I think he's in the process of doing that. He played good ball. He graded out highly. His numbers were good. Daniel graded out highly too. There's plays that both of them want back. There's plays that their line wants back too, I promise you. It's tough to play O-line in this league, but consistency really is the bottom line. Just to be as consistent as you can possibly be and have as many really upside plays as you can, but most of all, as much as possible, and it's the interior offensive line is probably the toughest place to do it, is to minimize the negative plays as much as you can, and that's what we strive for. I think we've done a really good job of that over the years with our offensive line, and you keep trying to always build in that direction.
Major weakness in that Cincinnati defense has been the pass defense, and it looked like you guys were trying to exploit that on Thursday night, but when you see Henry not get the ball in the second quarter, are you happy with that? I know you want to exploit something, but also just trying to keep him engaged in the game. Did you like the balance in that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No, of course not. That's not the numbers that we want at all, we want to run the ball. We're a running team, that's the fact. And we're a throwing team too. We got Lamar Jackson, we got receivers, we got tight ends, we got all that. But we want to always be a team that runs the ball and stops the run. That's been since 2008, it's not going to really probably ever change, and that's really what football is. So for sure, when you look at the game, we went seven plays down the field and scored. Then we went three and out, then we were in 2 minutes. So that explains the lack of carries in the second quarter. We didn't have any plays in the second quarter to have a chance to even run the ball. So then the other part of that is just the number of two-minute plays in the game was staggering. We had 21 two-minute plays. That's That's way too high. And when you have that many I don't mind 2 minute plays at the end of the half. I'm not real fired up about 2 minute plays at the end of the game. That means you're trying to, you know, come back. And so we had 7 or 8 2 minute plays at the end of the half, and we had, I don't know, 15 or so at the end of the game because we started 2 minute at the 9:38 mark of the fourth quarter. And that explains the play distribution as much as anything. It explains the carries as much as anything. So the circumstance of the game took us in that direction.
John, when we talked to Lamar after the game, he seemed a little bit of a loss to explain why his accuracy wasn't there at the level he expects it to be. I mean, he said, you know, in practice, it's been there. From your standpoint, what can you guys do to help him get back to where he expects to be?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of what sports is, you know. I mean, I do think you're going to have, you know, an off day sometimes, and that's not something that you take lightly, for sure. I know, listen, Lamar doesn't take it lightly more than anybody, and no player on this team takes it lightly. I mean, we have conscientious guys, so that's what you do. You go back to work. You go back to work, and you get in there, and you practice, and you study it, and you work together to be as precise as you can. It was not a precise offensive performance in any way. You know, there was nothing precise about it. It was imprecise in every way, and we all know that. We're all not happy with it. You know, we're very disappointed by it. But you can't live in it. You got to move on and come out swinging the next time. And I think if you watch the league, you'll see that that's very possible.
John, to that point, and I know it's never one thing, but is it attention to detail, little things, with specifically to Lamar that you'd like to see, you know, kind of improve?
It's all those things.
John, are you happy with the way you guys, it feels like you're not ending up in the right play a lot, I guess, offensively? I guess going back to years past, especially the last 2 years, it seemed like you guys had an answer for everything the defense was throwing. And Todd Monken always talked about the pre-snap adjustments that are made in Lamar's ability to change plays. Do you feel like you guys are still getting into those right plays based on the looks at the line?
So I think we do at times, and at times we don't. You know, it's part of the whole thing. I mean, it's all part of it. If it was any one thing, then it would, you know, it'd be one thing, but it's never any one thing. It's always a moving target. That's why it's so tough and so competitive. That's why you see things change every week. You know, it's sports, you know, and it's not, you try to chase, what we want to do is chase being on the same page, being together, being connected. We want to chase that in everything we do, communication-wise, efficiency, and then the defense throws a lot of stuff at you. You know, so you've got to adjust to movement. You've got to adjust to your disguises. You've got to adjust to guys showing up. We don't expect them to show up sometime and have plans for all that. You know, even a player, you know, just in his world has to adapt to so many moving parts. And that's what makes the game so crazy and chaotic. And we didn't do a good job of that Thursday night. So, no, I'm not happy about it. You know, none of us are happy about it. We're happy about it when we really execute well and we put it together and we have the answers, like you're saying. And it shows up in the execution, really. At the end of the day, it shows up in the execution. So that's what we're chasing.
John, there's been fumbling issues from different players throughout the season. Earlier was obviously Derrick Henry, you know, the 4 fumbles this last game. I know they're all kind of unique, each in their own way, but is there anything team-wide to take out of what's been happening with fumbling?
Well, we had 5 turnovers in the game. You know, it's just shocking, you know, and they're all fumbles. 4 of them are fumbles. So that's probably the common denominator. They're all fumbles. But there's really not any one thing that you can say about any one of them because all 4 of them are different. But it comes back down to the common denominator is ball security and the importance of executing ball security. So, yeah, it's got to be done. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional in everything you do from day one. It's got to be practice. It's got to be on your mind, at the forefront of your mind, at all times when you're a ball handler. And that's something that we emphasize, you know, we give high regard to and we talk about and push, demand every single day, but the players demand it themselves every single day. And to see it not executed, yeah, it's tough, man. It's a disappointing thing, and that's why we lost at the end of the day. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the main thing. So we all know it. We all have to do better with it.
John, how do you coaching players at the goal line. I mean, likely he knows what he did there, but you know, short of like fourth and goal where you know you need to score, you turn the ball over, or end of the half, something like that. How, generally speaking, how do you want players to approach it when they're at the goal?
I want the ball secured in ball security position, you know, high and tight, period. Extending the ball in the goal line has its place when you've got two strong hands in the ball and you have space and there's no traffic. I can see that. I can live with that. And I can only live when it turns out good. Because even if you do that and you don't execute it, then it was too much, you know. But you do have to make a little bit of an allowance, I think, for pro football players who are very talented. You see some great plays made. You know, we're not going to coach our guys out of that. But when you take it to the next level of doing something that's not sound, you know, that's not good. You know, and that's not winning football. So all of it, you know, all that kind of thing. The most important thing is to protect the football when you have the football in your hands.
Is there a chance that you get Robinson and Washington back to practice this week, or is it still too early to know?
It's a chance we get those guys back in practice this week, yeah. We'll see Wednesday. There's a good chance, actually.
John, when you had the chance to go back and look, what did you see on the pass interference call by Zay Flowers?
I saw a call that sometimes gets made and sometimes doesn't, basically. So I think, you know, Zay would tell you that, you know, he didn't need to do it. You know, he probably overdid it a little bit, so it got called.
You explained the run sequence situation, I thought, pretty clearly. But is it kind of a surprise when you go back and you pick up the final stat sheet, you look at Derek only had 10 carries, Keith Mitchell had 2 carries, and you wonder how it got to that point?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not what we want, but I kind of had a pretty good idea after the game was over because I knew how the game went. It wasn't too hard to figure out. But then when you look at you go back and you look at the numbers play for play, which I did after the game, after I saw that, and I looked at the numbers and I was like, okay, how did this exactly happen? Then it's okay, that's what happened. You know, there just weren't enough opportunities. You know, so it wasn't like every time we were in first and second down, we were going to run the ball 100% of the time. You know, we'd have had to do that to get to 18 to 20 carries runs. We'd have had to run it every time on first and second down, just about. And you know, you want to have to play actions. You know, you want to do some screens and things like that too, to keep people off balance and try to be balanced. So you just want more of those plays. I mean, that's the bottom line. We just needed more of those plays.
John, how do you think Ali handled it? Looked like he basically stepped into Justice Hill's role, you know, with pass protection, third down, things like that. How do you think he handled that, and do you see that role for him moving forward, at least while Justice is out?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say yes. Yes. Handle it well, and yes. He played really well. I mean, so the plays that he was in, he got the job done. He pass protected well. He ran his routes well. He chipped well. He had one run where I thought he was tentative on, you know, could hit it up in there in the A-gap on a third and medium, I think it was. So he played well.
John, it looked like you guys were trying to be aggressive and getting after Burrow, sending some blitzes, but it seemed like they picked him up. Why do you feel like, I guess, your pressures weren't getting home as much?
Well, they were in max protection. I mean, they were in seven-man protection. So even some of those got home, but he got his way out of it. You know, the biggest thing in those, you know, you look at the second half on the third downs. I mean, the story of the game on defense was basically 5 turnovers they had to go back on the field for, and then the third down conversions that the Bengals had, especially in the second half. And that put us on the field a lot. I thought our guys still handled it well, but, you know, we were bringing pressure. And a couple times we checked out of pressure, a couple times we bluffed. And there in max protection, you kind of get what you want there. You run a blitz into 7 blockers, you know, he's probably going to have a chance to get the ball out. But there's only 3 receivers out, so that's okay. So then when he starts to move, you got to get him down. And I just, if I was disappointed in anything, I was disappointed in the fact that he was able to get out and extend plays a little more than we were hoping for, you know. So, and even with that, you know, I got to give him credit too, because probably 4 of those, maybe 5 of those conversions were really great throws and catches. I mean, diving catches, tightly contested throws and catches that they made. So they deserve credit for that too.
Lamar's been dealing, obviously, a swarm of injuries. How much do you think this kind of mini bye by 21-30, how much do you think that will help him? And do you think going forward, it seems like there's been a pattern of, you know, no Wednesday practices. Is that something that could continue?
I really don't know. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. I think he'll be fine. You know, he's going to practice. I tell you, all that stuff, he's going to practice like as much as he can. You know, Lamar will practice as much as he can and prepare as well as he can. And, you know, that's what he's going to do, and he always has.
John, you opened talking about this AFC North race. You've got the Steelers, then you got the Bengals. Do you stress that back-to-back stakes to the team? Is it simply this is Pittsburgh? We got to worry about Pittsburgh this week.
It's simply Pittsburgh. We're just focused on Pittsburgh this week.
What's your impression of them so far? I know you and Tomlin go back forever, but what's your impression of this Steelers team?
My impression is that that's the team we got to beat this week. And whatever they are, as we're studying them and however we need to attack them, we're going to put the best plan together we can and play the best football we can on Sunday. That's my impression. That's how I think about it.
John, obviously not a great environment on Thursday to talk about team milestones, but Mark became the all-time leader in receptions on Thursday. I mean, given where he was in the offseason and the note he ended on in Buffalo, what do you think of his season so far, leading your team in touchdowns, passing some milestones, and really kind of reestablishing himself as a go-to guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Mark, you know. Always have been. I'm a big fan of all of our guys, but you know, Mark's been here a long time, you know, and we've been through a lot together, all of us, and so I'm proud of him. You know, I'm not surprised at all. I expected him to have the type of season he's having. So, yeah, that's really cool for him to get that milestone, as you said. And that goes down in history. You know, it goes down in history. I mean, and you see players do that like D-Hop, you know. D-Hop got his 1,000th catch and got it here as a Raven. That's pretty awesome, too. So those things are things that you do know. And, you know, you're going to look back someday, you're going to say, wow, that's really – really need to be a part of that, and yet it's all churned into the process of trying to find a way to win the next game and accomplish the things that we can accomplish in a real tough league, you know. So it's a lot that goes on with this whole deal, which is probably why we all love it so much.
John, we need to get so Chandler Martin you said it was a serious injury. Do you know more about that? And I guess a follow-up on Justice Hill. Does he have a shot at returning this year, or is that a season-ending thing?
Right. Chandler is a season-ending thing. He has an ACL. He's going to get an ACL repair here in the next couple of days, so he'll be out until training camp next year. Kudos to him. He played two games, really good games for us, and it was the first play that happened, unfortunately, for him. But he started to establish himself. That was neat to see as a young player. Justice does have a chance to come back. It's going to be a 3 to 4 week type of deal as we see it right now. So that's what we're looking for right there with Justice.
Okay.
All right, thanks.